that Johnny should worry about?
No. It's nothing that makes you outside the range of being masculine, of being a boy. It's just that if you, again, we're talking about statistics, and if you look at a statistical average, you may see some small effect.
Mm-hmm.
But that, for an individual, that doesn't mean anything at all. It's you're not going to be, you don't have to worry about being too feminine or something like that. It's really a statistical effect and nothing more.
Okay, John?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
We're talking about gender differences this hour on Talk of the Nation from National Public Radio. And let's go back to the phones to Steve in Cleveland. Hi, Steve.
Hi there. I'm calling. I'm another stay-at-home dad listening here. And I have two children, my son and my daughter. When they play house, my daughter goes and sits and pretends she's at work, and my son plays with dolls. And all of this is outside influence. It doesn't seem to be anything internal. And I'm questioning, with the way that our society's definition of gender, what is masculine and what is feminine, is changing so rapidly, what will be the effect on the research? Will all this research, like, go out the window? Or I'm seeing everything that my kids are seems to be as an influence from the outside, nothing internal, like the internal gene you're talking about.
All right, though. What about Steve's case here? Are there a lot more kids like his? I guess that's what you're asking, Steve. Will that affect the statistics?
Yeah. Well, you had another stay-at-home dad call. That's becoming more common, so the influence at the home is changing.
I was a Mr. Mom for about 5 months at one point when my first kids were born. Michael Weiss, any Robert Poole, Paul Grobstein? Are there more fathers at home that we just don't know about? Do you suspect that might be influencing how their kids are growing up?
This is Paul Grobstein. I think there certainly are more fathers at home as they find that that's an option available to them. On the other hand, the case described isn't going to change the data in the near term. It is, in fact, the case at the moment, and it always has been, that there have been some boy children who like to stay at home and some girl children who like to work.
Mm.
It's part of the normal variation.
Steve, are there other kids in the neighborhood who are like your children?
Well, there was just an article in the Plain Dealer about the support groups for stay-at-home dads and how rapidly that's growing, whether because you want to or whether it's financial or what, but more and more dads are staying home.
Mm.
And I'm seeing the fact that I can be more physical with my kids than my wife could, because she can't pick my daughter up anymore. I can't. So my daughter is getting more physical attention later into her life. And I'm wondering, this is the kind of stuff I'm wondering about. What is all this going to have an effect as my kids grow up?
Yeah. All right. Thanks for calling, Steve.
Sure.
Let's go now to Daryl in Liverpool, New York. Hi, Daryl.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Sure.
All right. Just make a mention that I'm yet another stay-at-home dad. My question, though, has nothing to do with that. I've read recently that there are studies starting to show that there are physiological differences between, I guess you call them, straight people and homosexual people. I'm wondering if those studies are real and if that points to a genetic difference between people, so that is homosexuality a normal variation of people? That's my question, I guess.
I forgot who was, someone said before that if there must be some sort of wiring in the brain that indicates a difference in homosexuality. If there's a preference, was that...
That was me, Paul Grobstein.
Paul Grobstein. Is there... could there be a physiological origin of this very in the womb or when sex is determined?
Absolutely, there could be. I think one of the interesting questions about gender identity overall is, in fact, not just the distinction between males and females, but accounting for the entire array of gender identities that we have in our culture.
Okay, Daryl?
Okay. Let me add something to this, by the way. This is Robert Poole. There was a study just a couple of years ago that found very strong evidence that there was a gene that on the X chromosome that contributed to male homosexuality. It was a study of homosexual brothers and looked for genes that they shared in common, and they found one area of the X chromosome which was shared much more regularly than would have been expected by random chance. And so it does seem that there's very strong evidence that there is a gene or genes on the X chromosome that has some effect on toward making men homosexuals. It may not guarantee that they're going to be homosexuals, but it does seem to be related to male homosexuality.
All right. We've run out of time this hour. I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Robert Poole, science journalist and author of Eve's Rib from Crown Publishers, Dr. Michael Weiss, director of the Center for Molecular Oncology at the University of Chicago in Illinois, and Dr. Paul Grobstein, a professor of biology at Bryn Mawr College in Pennsylvania. Thank you. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. On Monday's program in this hour, join Ray Suarez for a debate about the balanced budget amendment, just as the House of Representatives is scheduled to take up the issue in Congress. Suzanne Mesnick is our technical director. Our audio engineers are William O'Neill and Paul Ruest in New York, Flawn Williams in Chicago, Audrey Bentham in Philadelphia, and Linda Mack and Lorna White in Washington. Thanks always to computer gurus Rick Jarrett and Max Kakis. Bob Boylan composed our theme music. If you'd like to write to us, please send your letters to Talk of the Nation Science Friday, WNYC Radio, 1 Center Street, New York, New York, 10007. Or if you prefer to send us an email letter, our email address is scifry, S-C-I-F-R-I, @npr.org. In New York, I'm Ira Flatow.